Hence my note I circulated yesterday that you should keep all those people in prayer. As I was thinking about all those things and to call each one of them how to do it, I was just serving the scriptures and trying to find a word for them. And I found this word here. And I became persuaded in my spirit that I needed to share that with you all. You see, when you pray for these things, pray as if it was yourself. Because life is not always business as usual. When I spoke to Ian, he said to me, "Oh, Guy, I still remember something you said, which has become his favorite verse now, from Job chapter 32, verse 8. In reality, in a man, there is a spirit. And the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." And he reminded me that actually just the Spirit of God that is sustaining me. If God removes it, I'm God. So don't take things for granted. Don't play with life. Don't think, you know, I'm in charge, I can do... No! Things can go very quickly. Love God. I said to one brother, love God. Whether you're thinking of him or not, love him. By thinking of him, I'm talking about being here and worshiping and praying and reading the Bible. Even when you're not doing those things, hold God in a place of choice in your life. Dear friends, things can go very quickly. While you're sitting here complaining about, you know, the BT bill and, you know, your payroll office has made a mistake with your tax code, the net pay has gone down, etc. Some people cannot eat. So be thankful. Use the time left for God. Don't be a flashing Christian. I used to call that in French, chrétien clignotant, like this. You know, when everything goes well, they disappear from the church. The day you see them, the devil is. Then you see them. Brother Guy, can I have a word? I know already. Oh, yeah, no problem. There is a problem there. When everything go well, you know, I just rely on God himself. God is leading me. You know, I don't care about the church. When you see them, you know that, let me be ready. There is a conversation there. Be Christian in every weather. Be Christian when things go well and when things go bad. Be Christian in a day, in the night, all the time, until we see Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord, as we come together to look into scriptures. We give you praise and glory, and we trust, Lord, in you. Grant us heavenly wisdom, discernment, boldness, and courage, and faith to share these things with your authority and for your glory. We pray and we trust and we depend on your good, eternal, and Holy Spirit to explain to us, Lord, and to cause these things to multiply in us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So the topic for today, sailing with the Lord. Sailing with the Lord. Or navigating with the Lord. Sailing with the Lord. So we're going to have three short readings first. The reason why we're going to have these three short readings is, can I just say that I'm entering Ola's territory here? Take this as the continuation of what he taught last Sunday, same scriptures. I had to refer to his teaching for 1 hour and 3 minutes and listen carefully to make sure that I wasn't saying the wrong thing. On his back, to make sure that I align with the foundation is laid. Yes. So we're going to have three readings, one in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The reason we're going to have those three readings is because they are presenting the same account, and we want to have the fullness of the account and harmonize, reconcile, and draw lessons for our life. You see, we have a choice here. The choice is this. Either you listen to the word of God and you say, it's a very nice story. I can write a script for a film. You know, Jesus is a superhero. We can make a film. Or you can say, oh, the word of the Lord is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. I will take it for me. It's living and is spirit, and I will walk into those things for my life. That's what the word of God is. It's not there just to satisfy your curiosity, to add more knowledge to you, to what you have. No, it's living and powerful. So the things I will be talking about this morning is unto your building up, your edification, your equipping. You see, faith comes by the hearing and the hearing of the word of God. And it is our responsibilities as church leaders to impart you these things. As you listen these things, they go inside. If they are mixed with faith, these things will produce faith and increase you in faith in order for you to know Jesus Christ better and to put all your trust in him. That's what we are here for. First reading. Matthew chapter 8, and we read from verse 23 to verse 27. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest rose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Verse 25. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. 27. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So, in King James Version was the title from Ola last week, what manner of man is this? Second reading, moving to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we read from verse 35 to verse 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm rose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and say to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Carest thou not that we perish? KJV. 39. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Third reading, moving to Luke chapter 8. And we read from verse 22 to verse 25. That's Luke 8, 22 to 25. Now it happened On a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched it out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. Verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. Verse 25. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." Now, I wasn't quite sure whether I was going to preach or I was going to teach this morning. But it's a bit irrelevant what I do this morning. But I'm going to share the word. Reconciliation and lessons from these three accounts. From Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, let's try to draw our key elements of the account. First, when the Lord got into the boat, his disciples followed him. When the Lord got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a great tempest in the sea arose, and the boat was covered with waves, but the Lord was asleep. The disciple awake him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was great calm. So those are the key points in the account according to Matthew. Let us look what Mark says. What are the main points? Number one, it was evening. That's an additional detail there. It was evening when the Lord said to the disciple, "Let us cross over to the other side." KJV has, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Notice, it was the Lord's decision. It was the Lord's instruction. Let us go to the other side. But there were also other little boats. But the disciple went in the boat where the Lord was. They had a choice. Jesus Christ is the ark of salvation and the door of the sheep by whom we enter the sheepfold. In him we have eternal salvation and safety when we sail with him throughout the journey of faith in this world. He will carry us through the storm of this life, even though we have to walk through the valley of the terrifying shadow of death or pass through actual physical death. He will take us to the other side of the river safely. He is faithful and true witness. There are many choices of boat in this world, and each one of them promises a glorious destination. Each one of them promises a glorious destination. Each one of them seems to have answers to big questions of life, including death. Well, nobody has ever been there and come back to tell us what death looks like. One person has been there, has come back, and can authoritatively speaks of death and resurrection. and can speak about heaven with authority. Well, those various boats think they have authority when they speak about the final abode or final destiny of man. Nobody has been there. You know, we don't know where Buddha is. We don't know. Yet he's telling people through his writings what to do, where to go, and people are putting faith in some writing of someone who himself did not know where he was going. You know, his people trying to convince us that he reached the Nirvana. Where is evidence for that? There's nothing. But billions of people are following, including some part of, including a good number of Christians who thinks the Bible is no longer enough. You know, they need a bit of extra security. You know, they need this yoga meditation, you know, in order to be calm, in order to be that. Now, when it comes to sailing in boats, we are reminded of the account in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Do not turn to it. There is a teaching we gave about 2 years ago. You can find that. Acts 27, you know, Paul was sailing to Italy with many other prisoners. And Paul warned the owner of the ship that, oh, I perceive that the navigation will be perilous. It will be very difficult. Let us wait. Let's be patient because this is going to be difficult. But you see, the owner of the ship had his own interest, his own plans. You know, he had big cargo, you know, merchandise. You know, the cargo had to reach the transit to the next city. You know, it's business after all. And then you had the helmsman who was there. He's the expert of the sea. You know, he got to the owner of the ship. He said, don't listen to that man. I've been doing this all my life. You know, we know. You know, it's okay. You know, by the way, metropolitan weather says it's going to be okay. You know, let's just go. You know, why? No, don't listen to that babbler. You know, let's go. And Paul keep quiet. You know, when the revelation of God is there, you don't argue with people. God speaks once. God doesn't argue with people. God speaks once, he keeps quiet. Leave the consequences yourself. Paul doesn't argue with them. He keeps quiet. What does the Bible say in Acts 27? And they sailed, and everything was so calm. The Bible says they thought they had received the desire of their hearts. Yeah, why listen to this? You know, the revelation is very subjective. We're the expert. We've been doing this all our life. We know this sea is our life. Come on. The Bible says after a short while, did you read in the account we're reading here? The Bible says, suddenly, a rope, suddenly. Ian said, suddenly. Things can change very quickly. Your security, you holding on, or the pride, or rejecting God, or thinking you're sitting in the driving seats, you know, be very careful. The day will come where you will look to God and cry for help. The Bible says, young people, be careful before the bad days come where you will say, I no longer take pleasure to my youth. I'm young, I can do this, I can do that. We were all young. Joshua, Esther, Daniel, all those people were young. Brilliant for God. I don't know how many people, I don't want to offend anybody. You know, young ladies, we are beautiful. Well, think of Esther, that will keep you quiet. Use your youth for God. before it's too late. Before you say, I've wasted everything. And then you give to God what we call in French, mego. Do you know mego? I don't know the name in English. You know, when someone is smoking, that little one that is left there, it starts even burning their lips. Okay? You've smoked everything all your life. But, yes, you've smoked everything, and you take that, you say, God, now take this. Where you're tired, you can no longer do anything, you can't serve God, you've wasted all your time, now you come, God, use me. Serve God when you're still strong. With your youth, Daniel, Shadrach, Abednego, it was very clear, we will not defile ourselves with the king's delicacies. Clear. The heart for God. And they demonstrate that in the very capital of lawlessness, Babylon, they stood with God. Then you young people, you know, oh, it's so hard, I can't help. No, you're just being deceived, that's all. You got to set your heart on things from above. To sail with God through your youth, through the difficulties of this life, before it's too late. So, they are sailing. You know, sometimes when we speak here in the West, we speak of these things like a sea. Some people don't have an idea of what we're talking about. You know, some people think about River Thames. You know, a sea is a different reality. You know, you look at the Aegean Sea. You know, you go there, you look in the nighttime, you think yourself, this is the sea. These are big stuff we're talking about here. Thinking they had obtained the desire of their heart, they were very happy. And suddenly, not so long after, it starts as a soft wind. They might have thought, this is even better, it's too hot in here. Suddenly, the east wind called Euroclidon. I like the Euro bit. Because it makes me think of Strasbourg, the capital of lawlessness. I like the Euroblit. Euroclidon was the name of that wind. They start pulling things. Do you know what happened? The carcass and the merchandise were being thrown in the sea. Oh, I thought it was the initiative to go and sell it, you know, to make a profit. They start by throwing it. The day will come where your security will fail you. Cling on to the Lord. He will never fail you. Amen. Cling on to the Lord. When that day comes, relationship will fail you. Your reputation will fail you. Your qualification will fail you. Strength will fail you. Your money will fail you. Your network will fail you. Your beauty will fail you. Your reputation will fail you. Everything will fail you. Help of the helpless abide with you. Serve the Lord now. Love the Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Oh, can I say that again? Oh. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, because our God is a covenant-keeping and faithful God. Can I say that again? Or should I say something else? Whichever way I go. Let me take the less offensive one. That's what the Bible says. Nothing or no one can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ, including life or death itself, angel, etc., including Satan himself, because he's an angel, cannot separate you from the love of God. Oh, I heard people saying that you're going to lose your salvation. The Bible says that no one can separate you. So who should we listen to? The experts with their theory. They're quite happy, once safe, always safe, you can lose that. They're quite happy to put people in that limbo and confuse. They're quite happy with that. No, 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 this is what I believe. That's your problem. If you're going to lose your salvation, bonjour. Thank you very much. The Bible says, I have written to you these things that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe. And the Bible said they were with us. They left us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they wouldn't have left. Well, if someone is not saved, he comes, he sits in the church, he does things like a believer, and then one day he decides, I've had enough, they are all hypocrites, I'm going back to the world, and you go and say, he's lost his salvation. He was never saved in the first place. As simple as that. Those who are with Christ, they've tested that Christ is good, they continue, they follow him to the end. Simple. Now, it's your choice. Oh, I don't like that because I believe I can lose salvation. Thank you very much for that. I don't see that in the Bible. Now, you know what? People say, oh, Gee, you're saying that it means you're giving people a license to sin because once saved, always saved. It means that you will continue to, you can say, you can sin so that grace will abound. Well, I think every teaching I give here, I expose sin. I'm not advising anybody to go and sin. The Bible says, he who has this seed in him does not sin. How can you delight in sin when Christ, the Savior, came to die for sin? What kind of love is that? You love Jesus and you delight in the very thing he came to die for. You do not have the seed of Christ in you. As simple as that. You do like Christians and then you decide one day to leave the church. And people say, oh, they've lost salvation. Those who have known Christ, by the way, do you know that is called eternal life? Not weekly, not bi-weekly, not bi-monthly, not 6-monthly. Eternal life. So God gives you eternal life, and the eternal Son of God, who is the life, comes to live in you, and then after 2 days, I'm walking out. You see, all these things are troubling the believers and keeping them in fear. Maybe I've lost salvation. Maybe no. Ask the other question. Am I saved in the first place? That's the right question. Well, after the sailing, Euroclidon, the tempest comes, and people start throwing away everything they had. People start shouting all over the place. They don't know what to do. And Paul is there, and Paul saying, you should have listened. You should have listened to me. But don't worry. The Lord has appeared to me and has revealed this. Imagine the listening attention at that point. I think the helmsman, which is, and the owner of the ship, don't worry. Have some food. It's been a long time you haven't eaten. The Lord has appeared to me and say, we're going to lose the ship, but no one is going to die. And we're going to reach there. Let's cross over to the other side with the Lord. Hey, listen now. You know, be careful with the soldier. They're going to run away. Keep coming. And they start doing mechanical things. The Lord has spoken. All of you are going to reach the destination. The expert now listens to the revelation of God. If you put your trust in the expert of this world, you know, the psychologists, you know, they're making a lot of money these days. Do you know that? Everybody wants to listen to them. I heard many years ago that many of them were divorced. Many of them had mental issues. I heard that, yet they're just making money because people trust them, etc. And it's been said that to be a church leader, You may need to gain a degree in psychology. Well, I don't think Paul had one. Trust the Lord. Be careful with the expert of this world. Do you know there's something called influencer? Influencer. Young people listen to them miles before listening to God. Those people think and speak for millions of young people. When they cough and they put that on TikTok, the whole world will cough with them. What they say, nobody will even test it. They will just, Ariana Grande said. Everybody. Those people are empty themselves. They are empty. Do you know someone called Whitney Houston? Do you know how she died? Do you know someone called Michael Jackson? Do you know how he died? Do you know someone called Muhammad Ali? Trust in the Lord, please. Listen to the word of God. It will give you wisdom. It will build you up. It will give you life. And it will sustain you throughout until you see Jesus Christ. We don't have any other way to maintain you in the things of God but sharing with you the word of God, that your faith might be built up, that you might be equipped for the rest of the journey. You don't know what awaits you in 2 hours' time, in the next 2 hours' time, 24 hours' time. You don't know. But God knows. Well, that's the story of Acts 27. We know the rest of the story. So, going back to Mark 4, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the boat. They woke him, that's the Lord saying, carest thou not that we perish? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. Now, I think I can refer you to all as teaching. What man of man is this? The sea? The wind obeying the voice of a man? What do we get from Luke 8 then? The Lord was in the boat with the disciple and they launched out. KJV says they sailed. As they sailed, a windstorm came down and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. At risk, great danger. They woke him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Let me pause a little bit here. In the other account, they say, Lord, save us, we are perishing. In this account, they say, Master, Master, we are perishing. Who are talking? The disciples of Jesus Christ. Let me make a digression here. If a non-believer comes to the house of God here, where Jesus Christ is the head, the master, and the builder of his house, and the head overall, if someone who has no respect of God comes here, when we worship Christ and when we praying, when we praising God, it has to provoke them to the uttermost. The level of reverence and respect toward Jesus Christ must provoke them. It's not a sin if you refer to the Lord as the Jesus. It's your choice. That fine is not a sin. But I will advise you. He has so many divine titles. I will encourage you to use his divine title in his house. So that when unbelievers come, they know that we're not just talking about an avatar, a guru, another moral teacher. We're talking about Christ, the Son of God, and God, the Son, the Savior of the world, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. It's not a sin, if you prefer. Jesus, 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 okay, that's fine, it's your choice. But I'm advising you humbly to use his divine title. But some people even refuse to pray in the name of Jesus. Even refuse in the name of Jesus. And he's going all over the place and they are teaching people, you know, it's not a formula. It's not about closing a prayer with a formula. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. If you ask something in my name, he is the yes and the amen. You pray in his name and we answer amen, because it's yes and amen before God. Simple. Then there are some teaching going all over. Oh no, it's just the attitude of heart. It doesn't matter. You cannot pray in the name of Jesus. Well, you can be assured that you won't get my amen. I am blessed whenever everything is done in the name of Jesus, including prayer. Amen means verily, very, so be it. Master, Lord, King of Kings. The Lord in his grace can calm the storm of your life when you cry out to him. But he can also choose to carry you through the storm. The most important thing is what he decides to do with you during those tough times. That's the most important thing, that you are with him in the boat as you're sailing. He can calm the storm, or he can choose in his sovereignty to hold your hand and to carry you through the storm. He is the creator. It will hurt you, but the most important thing is to know that he is with you. Now, in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, he said, where is your faith? It's a question. Where's your faith? Mark 4:40a, you have no faith. Matthew 8:26, you of little faith. So, where is your faith? You have no faith. You of little faith. That's the Lord's reaction when they see what has happened. Okay. The Bible critics jump on this. The Bible critics jump on this statement, which says, you of little faith. They jump on this and they conclude that, oh, you see, there is a clear contradiction in the Bible with Matthew 17, verse 20. Because in Mark 17, verse 20, it says that if you have faith like a grain of the mustard seed, you will command that mountain to move from here to there, and that will happen. And then the Lord explained that a mustard seed is very little. But when it's sown, it grows to become a big tree that will be a habitat for birds with many branches. Ah, okay. So that little faith, the emphasis in all these three passages I've given to you here, where is your faith? You have no faith. You of little faith. People jump on this and say, oh, but in one verse the Lord commends those who have a little faith, and in this verse he seems to rebuke them because they have a little faith. In Matthew 17, verse 20, the Lord said this: because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, in other words, there is no faith, there is unbelief. So the three statements I've given you there: where is your faith? You have no faith. You of little faith, only means lack of faith. The emphasis is not on the size of the faith. The emphasis is on the faith itself. So when you have this kind of situation in the Bible, this kind of dichotomy or difficult passages, you look at the clearest possible passage which will settle the matter. If you dwell on your little faith, then you need to go and find other places where the Lord speaks of little faith to see the context, and then you will be able to understand here. But fortunately, there is also, in the same account, a statement mentioning lack of faith. You have no faith. So we take that one and the matter is closed. But in this passage about the mustard seeds, the emphasis is not necessarily on the level of faith, but on faith itself, which should be the basis of our daily life. For it's written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17b. In the passage above, the problem is unbelief, not little faith. Unbelief is the problem. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. You know, it's not about little faith or big faith. It's faith itself not being there. You know, the people who were delivered from Egypt, the Bible says, they received the same gospel as the one we receive today. But the word which they received was not mixed with faith. Faith is the problem. Lack of faith. You see, I say this. If you pray, you work, you succeed in something after praying, now this can be politically incorrect. Give 100% glory to God. If you fail, give 100% shame to yourself. Why am I saying that? Because God never fails. Everyone for whom Christ prayed for, the success rate was 100%. And then he said to us, in my name, you will do that. You will pray for people in my name. You will do even greater things than you've seen me doing. You will do that. How come we can't do that? Who is responsible? It's us. It's not God. Shame to us, glory to God. Now, Let us look at Matthew chapter 14 to keep you awake. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28 to 33. Matthew 14, 28 to 33. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What was the problem here? The problem here was, with Peter, was little faith and doubt. Now listen to this. Little faith plus doubt equals no faith. That's what I'm talking about here. Doesn't the Bible say, if you ask without doubting? So it's not about little faith. No, it's about faith in a great God. So the same is true when the Lord rebuked the disciple for not remembering when he miraculously fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people. The same statement comes, you people of little faith, don't you remember when I fed 5,000? Again, you of little faith. That is no faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. If you are a Christian walking by sight, you know, with your clever, you know, probability calculus and likelihood calculations, etc., you call that faith, zero. God calls into existence things that are not. What was the probability for Lazarus to be raised again? What was the probability for Sarah to have a child? What was the probability for Abraham to have a child? That's faith. Faith is like a grain of mustard seed. That is well understood by the description the Lord gives in the parable of the mustard seed in Luke 13, verse 19. Yes, the mustard seed is very little, but it is genuinely growing. It is like a mustard seed which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the bird of the air nested in its branches. Like the size of the mustard seed, the size of the faith is irrelevant as long as it is genuinely there and in the great and almighty God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Little faith plus doubt, I say, equals no faith or unbelief. Like a mustard seed, faith in God must continue to grow as long as we sail with the Lord toward the other side of the sea. That faith comes and is maintained by the hearing of the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Our eyes must be fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We will no longer need faith when we see the Lord face to face. The believers of old are remembered because they trusted the Lord in their generation. Faith in God is what is left when everything else has gone. Wealth, health, loved ones, reputation, hope, etc. We are commanded to take up the shield of faith with which we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16. The Bible does not encourage us to remain people of little faith or babies. Yes, we are commanded to be childlike in our dependence on the Heavenly Father. But, you know, childlikeness is very different from childishness. On the contrary, we are encouraged to grow and to become mature, faithful, immovable, and steadfast, founded, grounded, rooted, and built up on Christ the solid rock, who is the chief cornerstone of the foundation. All other ground is sinking sand, the songwriter wrote. All other boats are unsafe and unreliable. However solid they might look, remember, when they finished building the Titanic boat, the owner of the boat said, not even God can sink this boat. we know the rest of the story. You do not mock God. In order to grow, our faith must be tested or tried. It will then produce patience, which is one of the evidence of Christian maturity. The Bible speaks of the genuineness of faith. That is the genuineness of your attitude of heart in response to God's full provision found in the finished work of Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. How do you respond to that? Who gave himself a ransom for us all. We belong to a covenant-keeping and faithful God. Whatever the current situation you're going through, of whatever challenge you might be going through, take courage in the Lord. Fight the good fight of faith and keep faith in God. Run the race that is set before you, fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ. If you think that you've reached the end and there is no more reason or prospect for hope, then the Lord says to you today, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not give up. Do not harm yourself. Trust the Lord. Keep going with the Lord. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. And the Bible says, consider Job and the intended outcome. Consider those things. Those people had lost everything. The only thing that was left inside was faith. And the Bible is telling you that take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts from the enemy. Don't give up faith. Keep faith in God. And through you, God will defeat the enemy to his glory. He also said to you, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Don't fight yourself. Don't think you're too strong. Don't give up. God knows. Because you've put your trust in him, because you love him, he's yours and you are his, he cares for you. You may not see it, but God is in charge. And you will know that God is in charge and glorify him. No one or nothing can stop God from loving you. Should I say that again? No one or nothing can stop God from loving you. The highest and perfect love of God is for you. However you might be despised, ridiculed, insulted, disregarded, disrespected, God loves you fully, more than you can imagine. Oh, if that be the case, then not only we need to love one another, but we need to respect one another. Husband and wife, starting with husband, respect your wife. Your wife is a gift. Don't think because she's at your disposal now, she means nothing. You can, if it was that easy, why didn't you find another one? Well, just because she's been put at your disposal doesn't mean you should abuse and disrespect your wife. I'm not talking to ladies because that's hard. We live in that for another time. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He calls into existence things that are not. Cast your burden unto him, for he cares for you. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We say thank you, Lord. We commit your people unto your holy hands. We commit each heart unto your holy hands. And we pray that, Lord, everyone will know your comforting, divine comfort and presence in their life. And that all this word will continue to resonate in our hearts, create and grow godly faith in us and a trust in Jesus Christ, the unique person who is able to rescue us free of charge. We pray, Lord, for health issues. We pray for salvation. We pray for deliverance. We pray for household relationship, husband and wife. We pray that Jesus Christ will be there, sailing with each one of us. You are the answer. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you and thanks for your patience. As always, the notes are available. If you want them electronically, I can send to you, etc. God bless you.